This morning I would like to talk to you on the topic of guard the deposit entrusted to you. Guard the deposit entrusted to you. When I was thinking about this message and preparing, a story came to my mind from the Word of God that it's written in the pages of the New Testament, and it's about the prodigal son. It came a moment that the prodigal son says, "Give me my inheritance and I'm gonna leave." So he took his inheritance and he went and lived a life according to his desires, and ultimately he lived for himself. Can you imagine if he would invested his inheritance or guarded his inheritance? But because he was not a good steward of his inheritance, first, he demanded prematurely. Second of all, he was not a good steward of that inheritance. It led him to a place in life to actually join the pigs and eat the food that the pigs would eat. How important it is in our life to guard some of the things that has been entrusted into our lives. As children, there is a lot of things that our parents entrusted into our lives. All of us at some point were children. All of us here, it doesn't matter how old you are, you might be as old as my friend Richard, 91, but at one point or another, we all were children. And something was deposited into our life that formed us, and that not only formed us, but had an impact even in the journey that we are on right now. And the result of all of those things that we have inherited, some can be good and some can be bad. But today I want to talk about some of the things that can be entrusted into our lives, not by our parents, not by our friends, but by the power of the Holy Spirit himself. But the Lord Jesus Christ through the Holy Spirit in our lives, and now he encourages us through the pages of the Bible to guard those things, to be able to be aware of those things, if I can put it that way. To think about those things that God has entrusted into our hands. And then the Bible calls me and you to a place of what are we to do with the things that God has entrusted into our hands. Because we can be good stewards of the things that the Lord has entrusted into our hands, or we can be not so good stewards in the things that have been entrusted into our hands. And that's where the Bible encourages us to come to a place in our life to cry out to the Lord and to ask him to help us to stir up some of the things in our hearts, in our life, that he has called me and you to do. That we have put it on a back burner, so to speak, and we're kind of doing life knowing in our mind that there is something that the Lord would have me do. But because you're thinking you're too small, because you're thinking you're insignificant, maybe you're thinking you can't bring anything to the table, so to speak, I can't really be involved in anything. And this message maybe is not going to be as long as usual. We're going to be a little bit shorter, hopefully, and then we're going to call you to a response, and the response will be in the upper foyer, to go to the tables there and to search and say, God, where would you have me? Where would you have me? Now, from the scriptures, there's a lot of stories that we can read, but for the past 2 years, I've been fascinated with stories that are written on the pages of the scriptures, especially given by people before they pass away. And you might think that's kind of weird, but I think that's kind of important, right? So when David, for example, he is dying, he's about to pass on into eternity, and he's saying some of the last words. Think about that. Moses, Joseph, he almost sees it ahead and he prophesies what's gonna happen. And then he says, when you're gonna leave this place from Egypt, don't forget me, dig the bones and take it with you, right? So sometimes there's so much wisdom and revelation that it's written in the scriptures from the people that lived a life fully given to the Lord, seen miracles and wonders. And now they come to a point that they know They're about to pass on, and they're sharing some of the things with the nation, with the people, with the family. And I bet you those things are important. Are important. Amen? I remember not too long ago, somebody passed away, and it was unexpectedly because they found out they have cancer, and within a week they passed away. And it was a young father. I believe they have three or four children. And he was working. He was very sick for a few years. They couldn't find out what was going on. But whenever when he got back from work, he came home and they found out he has cancer all over his body. They began to do treatment for him, chemotherapy. And that actually worsened him because his body was in such a bad shape he could not fight against. And within a few days, he just passed away. I remember being on the phone with some of my family because they were extended family members, and people were rushing to buy plane tickets, to make their journey, to come to the hospital. And the purpose was to still catch him alive and to see if they can even talk with him for a little bit. What would he say? What would he say to his family? The pastor met with him and began to ask him some of the questions. He says, "It is well with my soul. There is nothing in my life that is hidden. There is nothing in my life that I need to confess. It is well. I believe that everything will be okay." And often in our lives, if we know families or have families, those moments, whenever when we find out that they're about to pass on, we are putting everything away and we're making our journey, we're making a point, we're making this time that is so valuable to catch them while they're still alive. Maybe they will share some of the things that will stick with me for the rest of my life. And now this leads me to share about Apostle Paul. As he's about to pass on, he's in the Roman prison, and he knows that his days are coming to an end. He preached the gospel. He was a missionary. He wrote a lot of letters to the church. He encouraged the church. He could have done a lot of things, and he could have said a lot of different things. But out of all the things, he began to look at a man by the name of Timothy. And Timothy was a young man that often some scholars think that he was despised, and maybe he was not accounted that he would be a good minister, a good pastor. You're young, what do you know? We have here rabbis that lived a life and they know everything. What do you know? And out of all the people, out of all the people that Apostle Paul knew, traveling from church to church and traveling from city to city, he decides to zoom in on this young man, Timothy. And out of all the things he began to write to him, he writes these words. And I would like to ask if you can open up the Word of God with me to 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 1 and down. And we're just going to read, and we're just going to stop at some moments and comment and talk about this scripture. And then in the end, I'm going to encourage you to do what Apostle Paul encouraged Timothy to do. And that's why we prepared the upper foyer for all of us, amen? 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 1 and down. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus, by the will of God, according to the promise of the life that is in Christ Jesus. Now, he's stating of who he is, and he's also reminding Timothy and others that, listen, I am called by God. I'm an apostle that God has called me. It's not like I've decided to do this on my own, but God has called me to this. I'm an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, according to the promise of the life that is in Christ Jesus. In the body of Jesus Christ, me and you were called by God. And whatever gifts are given to us, it's by the will of God. It's not unexpectedly, it's not because I'm so talented. It's not because I just have natural genes in my body to do certain things that I'm good at. But in the body of Jesus Christ, each one of us are called by God Himself. And not only that, but the gifts that are given to me and you to do the things that naturally we might not be able to do are given by God Himself. And Apostle Paul is reminding Timothy this. Now, verse 2. To Timothy, my beloved child, Now, Timothy was not his biological child, okay? It was his spiritual child. And he's now imparting it to him, and he's saying, now you are a person that I invested so much in you, and these are the things that I'm about to share with you. Grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord. These are the words that he's beginning to write, the second Timothy to Timothy. If I was in prison and I would write to somebody a letter, I would probably put, hey, this is me. You know who I am because you're missing me. It's horrible here. Would you do something about it to come and get me out of here? Apostle Paul, somehow he finds the words to Timothy, my beloved child, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord. He finds this word that are being imparted to him by the power of the Holy Spirit of a mature believer to know that in every season of our life, we can impart and partake from the grace of Jesus Christ. That in every season, he's still serving the body of Jesus Christ while being in prison. When yet so many believers living in freedom are saying, I'm not going to be involved in the body of Jesus Christ. I'm going to live my life for myself. But Apostle Paul here, even from prison, being chained, he is serving the body of Jesus Christ, not only then, but even this morning as I'm sharing this letter with all of us. Amazing truth. How much more me and you, being in freedom in this country, having all the blessings of the Lord, to say, God, I want to serve. I want to be plugged in. I want to be a blessing to somebody else. Because I am a blessing, others will be a blessing to others. Because Apostle Paul and Timothy and others like them were a blessing to other people during that time when they lived, they are also a blessing to us this morning. And it's a chain reaction. And now, out of all the things, that's what he says. I thank God whom I serve, as did my ancestors, with a clear conscience, or in different words or different translations, say with no regrets. They've served God with a clear conscience. They served God with no regrets. And he continues, as I remember you constantly in my prayers, night and day. Now the Bible says and encourages us to pray without ceasing. And this is a good example that Apostle Paul says, listen, I think about you and I'm praying for you night and day. It doesn't mean that he was on his knees all the time with his hands lifted high and closed his eyes and he was praying at all time. Because often, whenever when we talk about prayer, this is what we think prayer is. We go always to the form instead of a lifestyle. We run to a form of a prayer. Because we've seen others, how they do it, and we think that that's the only way you can be heard. Let me take a little further. Growing up, our parents taught us that you pray, you actually kneel down, you're on your knees, you put your hands like this, and you close your eyes, and you pray. Those are great things. I'm teaching this to my children. But I had to grow up a little bit to also realize that God hears my prayer when I'm standing or when I'm sitting as well. When I'm driving as well. And it's nothing wrong to have a form of prayer because it shows that we honor the Lord, that we're setting a time apart. In those moments, we are in reverence, and it's another thing that we do. We kneel before Him. But so often, we run to those things and think that those are the only methods that the Lord will hear me. And when we hear about prayer, we get discouraged that I'm not on my knees all day long. I don't walk with my eyes closed all day long. And all of a sudden, we get discouraged. It doesn't talk about that. It talks about of a lifestyle of prayer. I can work, I can do whatever. Even a lot of you come to my mind while I do different things. While I'm driving, while I'm painting, while I'm cutting the grass, or whatever what I'm doing, or at home, helping my family. Sometimes at a dinner, somebody would come to my mind and I begin to lift you up in prayer. It's a lifestyle of being aware of what God is doing. It's being aware that His Spirit is with me. It's being aware that He's near. It's not only He's near, but He lives within inside of me. And all of a sudden, it leads me to a point in life I'm responding to the things that God is bringing to my memories, and I'm praying. And now Apostle Paul is in prison, and he says that I remember you, and constantly you are in my prayer night and day. Verse 4, as I remember your tears, I long to see you. In different words, he says, I miss you. I miss you. And I remember those times that I want to see you, that I may be filled with joy. With joy. Are there people in your life that you miss? Are there people in your life that you can't wait to see them because you're going to be filled with joy? Or there are a lot of people that you are avoiding and you can't stand them. And you're kind of like, instead of joy, bitterness is going to come. How about you start praying for those people? How about me, all of us together? If there are people that come to our mind and instead of joy filling our heart, bitterness and anger and disappointment is filling our hearts, let's start praying for them like Apostle Paul prayed for Timothy day and night. And then we can say this word that I long to see you. Because whenever when I'm going to get a chance to see you, my heart is going to be filled with joy. Why? Because you are a child of God as well. And I don't have a right to be mad at you or to stay in that place. Let's pray for those, not only that we desire to see, but also for those that we don't desire to see, that we would love to avoid. Let's pray for those and believe that God will do a miracle and that He will fill our hearts with joy. Is it possible sometimes we don't really get involved? Is it possible sometimes we don't really allow other people to be in our lives because we're easily offended or we easily offend? And for that reason, we tend to draw back and come to church and leave church, come to church and leave church, but really not experience what the Bible talks about the body of Jesus Christ. Is it possible because of our things in life that we face and the lack of the things that we think we have, instead of growing in the grace of the Lord, we are growing in the disappointment of our reality. And it drives us away. We don't want to be involved in anything. We don't want people to know us. We don't want people to be involved in our homes. We don't want that. It's not because you're not wishing to have those things, but it's because of pain. It's because of those things in your life that you're saying, I'm okay by myself and I'm going to keep a distance because I already got burned in the past. Would you start praying? Would you start praying for those areas, for those people? There will come a moment that you, like Apostle Paul says, that I long to see you, that my heart, my life might be filled with joy. With joy. Verse 5. I am reminded of your sincere faith, a faith that dwelt first in your grandmother, Louise, and your mother, Eunice, and now I am sure dwells in you as well. Now he talks about a sincere faith that it was not hidden in Timothy, but a faith that was there, that was displayed, a person that truly believed the Lord. Verse 6, for this reason I remind you. Why are you reminding this to Timothy? What are you about to remind him? And this is very important. Out of all the things that he could have written to Timothy, this is what he's reminding. Because during that time, don't forget, even in 1 Timothy, later Apostle Paul also talks about false teachers that are going to come to be grounded in the Word of God, for Timothy to be grounded, to know the Word of God, to detect those that are teaching false doctrine. Also during that time, it was a time when everyone, believers were not welcomed everywhere. There were seasons where they were persecuted. And now discouragement can also get into the hearts of people. Discouragement can get into the hearts of believers. And this is what Apostle Paul now is specifically targeting and talking to Timothy about. For this reason, I remind you, fan into flames the gift of God. Oh, if I receive the gift of God, I'm all good to go. If that was the truth, Apostle Paul would never have written these things fan into flames the gift of God, which means that the gift of God is given to me and to you freely. Say with me, freely. Freely. But now me and you, we have to fan the gift of the Lord to go forward in that. Because sometimes we can get discouraged. Sometimes we can get hurt. In the body of Christ, you mean? Yes. You mean believers? Yes. Why? Because we're people. We're still people. Till the day Jesus comes, until the day we're going to be in heaven, we can get offended and we can easily offend because we're people. We can get hurt and we can hurt others. We can be in a place that we can get discouraged and we can discourage others. And that's why the gift of God is given. It says, fan into flames the gift of God, which is in you through the laying of on my hands. Meaning, in different words, there was a time when they prayed. And some scholars, they believe that it was a time whenever when they anointed him and prayed for him to put him to be the leader, the pastor. And he's saying that sometimes whatever word you felt in those moments, whatever in ministry that in the journey you're gonna feel, you might feel discouraged, but go back to that moment because God has called you to that. I'm telling you, once in a while, I have to go back to 2017. I have to go back and I have to remind myself that it was a time when God has called me and I was set apart for what I'm doing, not out of obligation, but out of love. And I have to remind myself it was not a flash thing that I was seeking for something, but it was the Lord that called me. And it brings me back to a place to say, God, I need your strength. I need your giftings. I need your wisdom. I need your power. I need your wisdom that only can come from you. I need you more and more. Because this is a supernatural walk. And as we've been talking for the past few weeks, that even the anointing that the body of Jesus Christ are to have in little things, don't think that only you need the anointing to preach the gospel behind the pulpit. Even in little things, waiting the tables, you need the anointing of the Holy Spirit, and the power and the wisdom can come from him only. Even in those moments. And that's why he says, he reminds him that in your journey, you're gonna get discouraged. In your journey to serve, you might get to a place where you can feel weak. But remember and fan into flames the gifts of God. Never forget those moments when God has met you. Never forget those moments when you came to the Lord. Never forget those moments when somebody prayed for you and you have received a call of God upon your life. That the giftings of the Lord were imparted into your lives. And all of a sudden you felt like you can do anything through the power of the Holy Spirit. But something happened in your journey now. You're a believer for 5 years. You're a believer for 1 year, 10 years, 20, 30, 40, or whatever, how long. And you're a believer, and you as a believer only are known to come to church, sit in the pew, get up after service and leave. And that's not the intentions of the Lord for my life and your life. We are gathered here as the body of Jesus Christ to get encouraged and recharged. And now we are to remember those moments when God has met us. And as we come here as the body of Christ, we are to leave now this building to be recharged for the kingdom of God. And not only to serve in the ministries of the church as we're gonna do and have the opportunity for you to be plugged in this morning, but also at your workplace more than anything. Whatever where we are, to understand that the giftings of the Lord are not limited to a four-wall building. But we became the temple of the Holy Spirit. That the Holy Spirit dwells within inside of me and you as a new born believer. And now we possess the power, the anointing and the gifts of the Spirit that God desires to manifest in and through our lives to bless other people. To bless other people wherever where we are. And that's what he's saying. For this reason, I remind you to fan into flames the gifts of God which is in you through the laying of my hands. For God gave us a spirit not of fear, but of power and love and self-control or sound mind. I've heard this scripture so much. God did not give us a spirit of fear, but of power, love and sound mind. But in the context, it talks about serving in the body of Jesus Christ through the spiritual gifts. I'm afraid of heights. God did not give me a spirit of fear. Can we quote the scripture? Sure. But how many times did we quote the scripture in ministry? In ministry, whenever when we hear the call that there is a need, and I'm saying, I'm going to come to that need, and I'm afraid to step into whatever God is calling me. Can we call on that scripture and quote that scripture? Oh God, I'm afraid. I'm afraid to commit. I'm afraid to serve. I'm afraid to teach. I'm afraid to pray. I'm afraid to prophesy. I'm afraid to do all of these things. But God, you did not give me a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and sound mind. This is the time where we are to quote the scripture more than anywhere else. It's whenever when we serve, especially in the gifts of the Spirit that God has called me and you to serve in the context that he's talking about. Can you quote the scriptures whenever when you're on top of the mountain and you're afraid of heights? Sure you can. But more than everything, quote it whenever when you're afraid to get involved. Whenever when you're afraid to be committed. Whenever when you're afraid to serve the body of Christ, then this is when you quote the scripture. God, I'm afraid to commit. I'm afraid to serve. I don't know all the things. I'm not very eloquent, but you did not give me the spirit of fear. This is what he talks about in the context. For God did not give us a spirit of fear. Another translation says of a spirit of cowardness when we draw back. Another translation or commentary says that fear is almost comes to a point one who flees the battle. You're in a battle. Our Christian life, we are in a battle. And the fear will try to drive us away from the battle. But it says God did not give you the spirit of fear to run away from the battle, but to stand in the battle and fight. I'm reminded of the nation of Israel whenever when they were facing Goliath. And they were the people chosen by God. They were not the heathens. They were people chosen by God, who God spoke, who God had promises for them. And they would come and face Goliath. And what were they doing? Whenever when they heard the voice, they began to flee. They began to run away. And on David, a young man who knew maybe not so much about the law and all of the things of the Lord, but he knew one thing that God has called him and filled his heart with his spirit. And God did not give him a spirit of fear, but of power. And he understood that. And an army could not come against Goliath. Now he's facing one-to-one. One-to-one. And because David understood the power of God, he stood in the battle. A man that did not belong there according to all of the stats of mankind. A man that people laughed at. A person that even the enemy laughed at him. But he says, I'm coming against you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm not drawing back from this battle even when I face fear. And this is what he talks about. That God did not give us a spirit of fear to run away from the battles that we might face in spiritual warfare. But of power. What he talks about, the power of the Holy Spirit. Dunamis power. A power that only can come from him. It's not something that we can work ourselves up. It's not something that we can go to class and learn about it. But it's something that it comes from an intimate relationship with the Lord. It's that power, the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Something that we can live our lives and not fear anything. And say, God, if you're with me, nothing can stand against me. And of course, of love. The love of Jesus Christ. Agape love. That we need in the ministry, because we can get very puffed up. We can get very, very much lording over people if we're not careful. Oh, because I'm so-and-so, I have the power, I'm special. No, it has to be driven by the love of Jesus Christ. For God did not give us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and a sound mind or self-control. Therefore, do not be ashamed of the testimonies about our Lord, nor of me. You see, he goes back to over here, says, I long to see you and I'm praying for you. And now he talks about that I am in prison. Can you imagine your teacher, your master? You were looking forward in his life to be taught and to learn. And he's in prison now. Who wants to associate himself with that guy? And now Apostle Paul, even later, he talks about how many has left him. that not many people now all of a sudden are cheering him on and they want to be associated with Paul. But he says, therefore, do not be ashamed of the testimony about our Lord, nor of me, his prisoner, but share in suffering. In different words, he's saying, share in the suffering because God has called me to this. And share in the suffering for the gospel by the power of God who saved us and called us. Who saves us and calls us? God. Do you think I'm calling you this morning? No, I'm reminding you this morning of the call of God. I'm not calling you to anything. My brother, my sister, God calls. God saves. God imparts the giftings. And I'm just here to remind us to be responsible and to guard the deposit that has been entrusted into our hands. What kind of calling that he called us when we serve in the giftings and all the things that God has called us? He called us to live a holy life and a holy calling. No longer you live for yourself anymore, but it's a holy calling. Not because of our own works. You see, again, he talks about that it's nothing that you can do or you can manufacture on your own works, but because of his own purpose and grace which he had given us in Christ Jesus. So what purpose? Whose purpose we're doing this? His own purpose. Anything that you do in the body of Jesus Christ and outside the four walls, it has to be for his purpose. It cannot be how great my name can be. It cannot be all of a sudden, click, click on social media, look how great I am. And next thing, when the red button goes to normal, you're screaming outside of your lungs. It's not for a show, but it's for his purpose. Anything that we do, it's for his purpose and grace, which he had given us in Christ Jesus before the ages began. The prophet says that before you were born, God says, I knew you. I knew you. It's not something new that all of a sudden something just special gonna come right now. No. When we become born again believers, God already knew you. Even before me and you were born, he already knew us by name. Oh, you mean my parents had five names and they chose this one? No, God already knew this one, yeah. He was aware of every name. God is aware of it. And not only that, he knew the call and he knew the giftings and he knew what you're gonna do before the foundations of the world according to this scripture. Let's continue reading. And which now has been manifested through the appearing of our Savior, Jesus Christ, who abolished death and brought life and immortality to light through the gospel, for which I was appointed a preacher, an apostle, and a teacher, which is why I suffer as I do. Again, he goes to a point in his life to say, I was appointed for this. Can you say that with Apostle Paul, that I'm appointed for this? I was called for this? And so often, we fall into a place where we can say, I can't do it. I'm a sinner. I have so much baggage. I can't do it. It's very interesting. If you read the scripture again, he talks about his calling. He talks about the saving power of God. He talks about the gospel that has power. He talks about the giftings of the Spirit. And then all of a sudden, he brings back to memory to Timothy all the way from Garden of Eden. All the way from there, because he's talking about our Lord Jesus Christ who abolished death and brought life. Why are you doing this? Why are you going from Adam and Eve when we talk about the gifts of the Spirit and the resurrection power of Christ? He reminds us as people and Timothy that often we might be tempted to label ourselves of our past. But he reminds us that from the beginning, God overcame the death. That death that came through Eve and Adam, that curse of sin and power of sin, God has overwritten that. And instead of death, he had given us life. Life. And you can experience periods in our life or times in our life where we can go through a season that we feel like we're facing death. But he promises us through Christ Jesus, you can experience life. In what context? In ministry. In operating in the gifts of the Lord. Let's continue. This is what he says, but I'm not ashamed. Say with me, I am not ashamed. Louder and with confidence. I'm not ashamed. What are you not ashamed of? And this is what he talks. For I know who I have believed. That's powerful. My brother, my sister, sometimes the shame comes with fear. Shame comes with fear. And that's why he says in the context that God did not give us a spirit of fear. Because with fear will come shame. Shame. And he says, God did not give us a spirit of fear. And now he says, but I am not ashamed, for I know in whom I have believed. He does not say that I have no reason to feel shame. Apostle Paul, out of all the people, had every reason and every purpose to be shameful about some of the things that he has done in the past. He was a murderer. He was a person that was after the believers. He was bringing pressure against the church. He was imprisoning people. He was all of the things that whenever he says these words, it had to be the power of the Holy Spirit, because naturally he had a lot of things to be ashamed for. But now he talks about in the context, because Jesus saved me, I'm not ashamed of this gospel now. See, it's not necessarily about me and my past, because it can lead us to those moments and to say, I'm not going to be a representation of this gospel. But because of what God has done and the life that I have in him, but I am not ashamed, for I know in whom I have believed. And because I have believed in him, he covers me. He covers me. And I am convinced. Say with me, convinced. What does that mean, convinced? In different words, I know that I know that I know that I know that nothing can keep me away from the love of Jesus Christ, as Apostle Paul says in Romans. No height, no depth, nothing that I can do. I know that I know. Doesn't matter how many people can stand against me. And Apostle Paul, before his death, he stood before the judges. He stood before the Pharisees and said, okay, they were trying to convince me otherwise. But because he knew that he knows, nothing could have touched him. Nothing could have persuaded him to a different gospel. But because he knew, he was convinced that he is able. Who is able? God. Talk with me now. Who is able? God is able. God is able. It's not me and you who are able to keep all of these things and all the truth, but it's God that is able to seal the truth in our lives and in our hearts. God is able. He is able to guard until that day what has been entrusted to me. So again, the title says, you guard, which you have the responsibility, but also God is guarding. We can't do it by ourselves. God has to be involved in it. But for God to be involved in it, he wants action from us as well. Action from us as well. Verse 13. Follow the pattern of the sound words. So how do we move forward in serving? How do we move forward in the gifts of the Lord? One of the things is fan into flames the gift of God, but also follow the pattern of the sound words. What words? The Bible. Say with me, Bible. Bible. The Bible, especially the day we live in. Follow the Bible. Read the Bible. That's why we as a church are doing a reading plan in this year. We've done it last year, we're doing it again, and we're gonna do it again and again and again. It's a struggle sometimes, but we have to follow the Word of God. We have to have a habit in our lives to follow the Word of God and to know the Word of God. Not too long ago, I was reading that about 50 or 60% of the evangelicals, whenever when they were questioned, they did not know the Word of God. More than that, when they were asking all of the questions concerning inclusivity and all of the things that the Bible clearly talks against about, they were okay with that. They were okay with that, not because the Bible is okay with that, but they were okay with it because they don't know the Bible and they were convenient to embrace anything and everything. Isn't it sad? 50 or 60% of evangelicals, people, they call themselves born-again believers. Isn't it crazy? And for that reason, through prayer and a lot of thought, we have come to a place within a few weeks. We want to give every opportunity for this church to learn and to grow into the scriptures. In the next few weeks, we're going to announce that each morning on Sunday at 9 o'clock, we're going to have a Bible study. And it's going to be open to the whole church to come and to learn. At the same time, we're going to have a prayer meeting here in our office, church office. Whoever wants to come and pray together, it's going to be open for each one of you. That you can say, you know what? I can go to a Bible study or I can go to a prayer meeting. Do something. I want to give the opportunity. We would like to give as leaders the opportunity for all of us. Because we're coming Sunday to church already, we're just going to encourage, just wake up or come an hour earlier so we can learn together of the scripture. Follow the pattern of the sound words. So we can be taught, so we can discuss, so we can ask questions about the Word of God. So we can do this as the body of Jesus Christ. Amen. And Pastor Nick graciously agreed to lead this. What a grateful team and a blessing we have in this church that God has truly blessed us with different gifts. And that's what we're doing. My desire is for different gifts to be manifested in this body. And Pastor Nick is going to be leading this Bible study. And we're going to be praying for him and the support that he will need again to come around him. But also, we need you to show up. We need you to come alongside and be learners of the Word of God so we don't fall under the same category of 50 or 60% that do not know the Bible. I'm learning every day. I have to learn. I want to learn. All of us, we have to learn. So would you pray for the next few weeks? We're going to announce when this first Sunday is going to come, somewhere in February. And you say, God, help me to be disciplined, to wake up a little early and to come to the Bible study, to come to the prayer meeting here since we're already here. Amen? Are you with me? Let's put our hands together, give God a shout of praise for what He's doing in the church. Follow the pattern of the sound words that you have heard from me in the faith and love that are in Christ Jesus by the Holy Spirit who dwells within us. See, he talks about all of these things and reminds us always that it's the Holy Spirit who dwells within us because without him, we cannot do this. And this is my closing statement. Guard the good deposit entrusted to you. Guard the good deposit entrusted to you and me. Are we good stewards? Not of the physical things that we obtained through the mercies and blessings of God, but of the gifts of God that has been poured out upon our lives. And as Paul was encouraging Timothy, he knew that sometimes he might feel weary, he might not want to do this. He says, no, you go back to the moment where we laid hands, we go back to those moments when you were on fire for God and remember those moments that the gifts of God are upon your life. And now every power of hell is gonna try to come against you, to discourage you, to get your focus away from serving in the body of Christ. You, through the power of the Holy Spirit, guard what has been entrusted into your life. That's powerful. That's what it means. God did not give us a spirit of fear, but of what? Power of love and sound mind. One more time, let's say it together. For God did not give us a spirit of fear, but of love and sound mind. This is the context which it talks about. Whenever when you're afraid to serve, whenever when you're afraid in those moments to allow God to use you in different ways in the gifts of the Lord, those are the moments you say, God, I'm fearful, but you did not give me the spirit of fear. In whatever capacity, Lord, I want to run away, but help me. Lord, I want to put into flames all of the things that you have imparted into my life. It's like putting wood on a fire to keep the fire going. Amen. The discipline to read the word, the discipline to come at 9 o'clock in the next few weeks, every Sunday, to learn from the word of God and come together and worship. I'm looking forward to that. Can you imagine the shouts of joy and worship that is going to be here when we come together to sing? Because the truth will set us free. The truth that is going to be deposited into our life. I look forward to those moments. And also it says, through the power of the Holy Spirit, you guard what has been entrusted and deposited in your life. Have I been a good steward of the things that the Lord has entrusted in my life? Have you been a good steward of the things that the Lord has entrusted in your life? The giftings of the Spirit. If you are a born-again Christian, there is a gift in you. God has entrusted. If you are a born-again Christian, oh, I don't know nothing about that. No. God has empowered you for something special in the body of Christ. And now me and you are to be good stewards. Father, we're so grateful for your word that has power. Lord, I've just shared my heart this morning. The desire of my heart is to see this body involved. Each one of us, that none of us are just spectaculars. None of us just are watching from the sidelines. But all of us are plugged in. All of us are plugged in. I pray that you would remind those that are discouraged and those that are filled with fear that you have not given us a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and sound mind, that we will step in faith and respond to the needs that are out there through the power of the Holy Spirit. Help this church to be a city on a hill, to shine the light of Jesus Christ, and to practically show others how to serve. As we do the good works, as we serve, others will see us. And the word of God says, because of the love and the good works and the good deeds, they will come to the knowledge and acceptance of our Lord Jesus Christ. Help us to understand the importance of knowing your word, to stay in a place where we always can learn sound doctrine. Help us to respond when in a few weeks we're gonna resume and come together at 9 o'clock in the morning before we all gather here in the sanctuary to our Bible study. God, help us to respond, to stay alert, and to grow. I pray, oh God, for Pastor Nick, even as he's going to be preparing for this season in life, and others that are going to be helping him when he's not going to be able to be here. Lord, I pray that you would give him wisdom that only can come from you, that you would open up your word to him, that you would speak to him, oh Lord, how to lead and guide the questions that are going to come. Lord, we want to be led by you. Lord, we hide behind your cross. It's not about us as people, as leaders, but it's about you in us. We might disappoint people, but God, you will never disappoint us. I pray that you would give us the grace that we need. Jesus, we love you and we praise you. In your name we pray. Amen.